It's time for a new adventure.
Welcome to Adventures in Business, a podcast dedicated to the voices of today's entrepreneurs. Adventure is not just an action, it's an attitude. We will broaden your horizons and understandings of what it's like to be a working person today, in this moment of time on this planet we call Earth.
Welcome to today's episode of Adventures in Business. I'm Amy Zander, and I'm here with my co-host, Lisa Fisher. Hi, Lisa.
Hey, Amy.
How are you today?
I'm doing great. How about you?
I'm great. So what story do you have for us today?
I have the amazing Justine Bell joining us today from Cedar River Insurance. I've had the honor and privilege of meeting her through networking. Somebody says, hey, you need to know Justine. And I got to know Justine, and I'm so glad that we did. So, Justine, welcome to our episode starring you.
Thank you so much for having me.
Love it. I love it. So, Justine, let's start with, who are you and what do you do?
My name is Justine Bell. I'm a 35-year-old mother of one, and I am a medical insurance agent.
Oh, Justine, come on. You're more than a medical insurance agent. I've seen you in action.
I know, she's like Girl Friday when it comes to all that stuff.
I love my job. I feel like what I am is a teacher. And I think that when I was growing up, one of the main things that you have in your life is you have teachers and they're incredible and they do such a fabulous job. And so I thought, maybe that's what I want to be. And then I realized that I like child. But I don't like children, if you know what I mean.
Like, I do. I do know what you mean.
My friends' kids are great, but like a group of 30 children of almost any age seems terrifying. But I think that that's sort of my soul, right? Is like taking information, boiling it down to the information that is needed to understand, and then being able to explain that in a way that makes people feel comfortable. And health insurance is such a weird thing because it's one of the top five costs that a household has on average. And people find it to be really scary. They don't understand it. So they know it's important. They know it's expensive and they don't know how to pick it. And they feel really uncomfortable about it. So my job is part teacher, part therapist, part agent.
Justine, why is it so important for you to help the people that come to you make an informed decision?
Because people need to feel comfortable. People do better when they feel comfortable in the decision that they've made. And one of the things that I talk to my clients about all the time is I have a lot of knowledge, but I'm not you. I'm not in your head. I don't know what your needs are. You can tell me and I can understand as best I can, but I don't know your life. I don't know the things that you need. So the better thing for me to do is to teach you how to understand the things that you need to understand to pick a medical insurance plan and then let you pick it because you know your life way better than I ever could.
I think that is so awesome. And, you know, you were talking about teachers and how we all have them in our lives. Was there a teacher as you were growing up that really inspired you to become that heart of educating others?
I feel like there are two teachers that really stand out from my high school experience, which ironically was in Hazlitt. The first one is Mrs. Shoemaker, and she taught English, but also comparative religions. And she was always doing something new and interesting. And one of the things that I think she really embodied was a desire to continue learning, right? It was always something new happening, a new class that was coming out, something amazing that she was doing. And I really looked up to that because it was like a constant growth, right? It was wonderful to watch. And then also in high school, Mrs. Schnarr, Dolores Schnarr, was the AP English teacher. And she just made us reach for the stars. I mean, she never accepted less than our best, but it was in a way that was like supportive and felt comfortable. But, you know, when you turned in something that wasn't your best, she would just give you that look and you'd be like, I know, I knew it wasn't, but I ran out of time and I'm so sorry. And then you'd feel it like deep down in your soul.
So I know teaching kids is not sounding like a good thing at the moment. How did you choose insurance? How did you get into this path?
One of the things that my path has been circuitous. My husband always knew he wanted to be a computer programmer. And I always envied that because he went to college, he got his degree in computer programming, he got a job in computer programming. Like, it was just clear to him from the beginning, right? But it was not for me. I got a degree in biology. I started working at the local Humane Society. I spent a long time working at Humane Societies. I ran trap, neuter, release programs. I was an office manager for a while. I just kind of hopped around. To me, the thing that has driven me the most is seeing need. So if you have a space that is not being filled, then I feel like I would like to fill it, right? At the animal shelter, they needed somebody to help clean the kennels because they couldn't find staff that was showing up correctly. And then they needed somebody to help make phone calls. And then they needed somebody to help in the spay-neuter clinic. And so I really just did every job because every job was needed and we were constantly understaffed. And I think that that is really valuable. Going back to the teacher and the constant growth, I feel like you learn something from every situation that you're in. And when things get frustrating, I try to stop and step back and go, what am I learning from this? Like, what is the lesson now? Because negative doesn't help me. Like, ruminating in the negative doesn't do anything for me except make me grouchy. And so stop, step back. What is it that we're learning here? Is there anything that I can take away from this? And then after a while, working at animal shelters was very political in a way that I didn't really love. People have a huge heart for animals and they feel every decision very strongly in a very visceral way. And everybody had different opinions about what should happen. And so when you made a decision that wasn't the same as what somebody else would want, it was almost a personal attack. It was like deeply held and it just became too roller coastery, too emotional. It was hard to leave work at work. And so that was just not where I should be. And then I had a friend who was getting into insurance and he said, hey, I think you'd be really good at this. And I was like, great. I don't know. I'm in a space where I know I don't want to do this anymore. And maybe I will be. So I gave it a try and I again wound around a little bit, tried a couple of different things, did some time in property and casualty. And then again, going back to like seeing the need, like people were, they didn't understand health insurance. They felt uncomfortable. It was a way that I felt like I could really serve.
I love it. And you know, you talked about working at the animal shelter and then you just circled back with a way to serve. And I know that you're involved in some other organizations where you're serving. Would you share with us what are some of the groups that you're volunteering in?
Yes. So volunteering and networking, I feel like I'm a professional networker. I am currently the treasurer for the Junior League of Lansing, which is a fair amount of time, but such an important thing, just like keeping all of the, making sure all the pennies go where they're supposed to go. I volunteer. We're actually getting a litter of 5 foster kittens today. My son is super excited. So we will have them. And then Harrison, my son, will help take pictures and videos and help them find homes. I'm part of the board of Lansing Women's Forum. I'm on in the National Association for Career Women and really just a little bit of everything all the time.
What does the Junior League do? I'm not 100% clear, but what all do they do?
Yeah. So the Junior League is a women's organization, began in New York, and they develop the potential of women, improve the community, and promote volunteerism. So there's consistently trainings. Each assignment that you have is designed to sort of help grow your potential, whether it's leadership or accounting or organization. And there's always new trainings that we're doing in order to like help women feel more comfortable in whatever space that they're in. Obviously, it started quite a while ago. And so at that time, women were mostly staying at home. So it has shifted over the years in scope and in training. And a lot of what we do is business training now. But we have a fair number of stay-at-home mothers too, and it's just a really nice supportive environment. But really improving the community and promoting volunteerism, I think, is what calls people to Junior League. We do what's called a done in a day. So part of your Junior League experience is required to be volunteering. And we're consistently having speakers come to talk about different nonprofits in the area, to discuss what's going on in Lansing and in the surrounding area and how we can be of service. And then the part of it is promoting volunteerism. So our members and their families and their friends are out engaging with these different nonprofits to help everything that we can help in the Lansing area.
So Justine, you left out a very important thing that you're currently doing for volunteering with the One and All program. Can you tell us about that, please?
My mentee is named Erica, and she is amazing. She is creating a business that's, it's actually more of a nonprofit to address housing insecurity in the Lansing area, because it's something that she's struggled with in the past. And so one of the things that we hear a lot about, again, through Junior League, Laurel Birchfield works for the Michigan Coalition Against Homelessness and has come and spoken quite a few times, and she's incredible. And there are way more people on the list to get affordable housing than there is affordable housing available. And the main contributor to people not being able to get ahead, to people not being able to meet their needs, is housing costs and not being able to find affordable housing. So Erica, who's my mentee, is starting a nonprofit that is going to accept donations of houses, redevelop those houses, and then put them into a program of affordable housing that also includes a mentorship program to help them grow as people. So one of the things that we see a lot is you can put somebody in a house, but if they've never been in a house before, they've never been responsible for taking care of a home before, they don't know a lot of the things that we middle-class people just grew up knowing. Like, for instance, if you spill water on hardwood, you have to wipe it up right away because it can damage the floor. But if you've never had wood, then you wouldn't know that. And it's just a tiny microcosm, obviously not the most important thing, but just a tiny microcosm of all of the like tiny details that we pick up from our parents in our lifestyles that somebody who has never owned their own home might not know.
So Justine, I know that just from being friends with you and talking with you that poverty and homelessness is something that's really close to your heart. And just for our listeners as well, the One and All program is a program done through LEAP, and there's different sponsorships in it. So people who meet the ALICE threshold, who want to start businesses, can join this program, and they get linked up with a mentor and a business coach and all kinds of resources. And we will have links to that in our show notes if any of our listeners are interested in that program, so you can find out more. So yeah, Justine, so tell us about, I mean, this is like a perfect match for you. Tell us how you picked your mentee and how that's going.
Yeah. So the LEAP program is wonderful. You can sign up to be a mentor, and then you get to, in this case, I think normally in non-COVID times, they have presentations, but in this case, they did it by video. So there were little 3-minute videos for each thing, each different company that they were starting. And then you pick three, and then you identify why you think that particular person might be a good match for you. And I zeroed in on Erica right away because through Junior League and through other things that I've done, I really am passionate about helping people get ahead. And it was something that really coincided with a lot of the interests that I already have.
Absolutely. Yeah. When I said, so who's your mentee? Tell me about her. And you told me, I was like, oh, match made in heaven.
I know.
Like, so
I know.
Cool. Yeah.
It's like they knew me. I laugh because, of course, Jerry does, who helps run the program.
Right,
so
right.
I'm wondering if he had an eye out to that right. when they did that.
And for our listeners, it's Jerry Norris with The Fledge.
Yes.
Yeah.
So, Justine, why are you so passionate about these topics, about the whole philanthropic world and homelessness and watching others to exceed, right, to excel?
I feel like deep down inside of me is a desire to help. And I think that that has driven a lot of the things that I've done. So working at an animal shelter, I'm pretty consistently in the nonprofit space, except for this particular job, although it has sort of echoes of it, I think. And I always knew that I wanted to help. And for a long time, I thought that that might be like a political office, but I did a short stint at a local political office. And again, lots of big personalities, lots of big feelings, really kind of hard to get things done. And so I decided that that's probably not the correct space for me, but the nonprofit world is amazing. And you can get so many things done and you can like pick a project and really throw yourself into it and gather people that are passionate about that and create a team to make change. And I think that that's one of the most amazing things that can be done.
So how do you fit it all in? I mean, you've got, you're a mom, you're an insurance person, you've got all these things that you do, you're on all these boards. So what advice can you give people who, you know, have all these passions? How do you make them all happen?
It's a really good question. And the thing that I have come around to is, this sounds so kitschy, like 2 years ago, KonMari was a big thing. And the whole idea was simplicity, like get it down to the things that are important.
Yeah.
And I realized that I wanted to do that in my house. And I did. And so there is simplicity here in my home. And that helps my soul feel just less stressed, right? There's less clutter in my house. And so there's less clutter in my brain. And then when I got to the end of that, I don't know if you're really ever at the end of it, but when I got into that, I realized that I wanted to do that for everything in my life. So there are two stages in life, in my opinion. There's when you're a kid, when you're a student and a college student, and when you're an early adult. And at that time, you have a lot of time and not enough to do, right? You're consistently looking for things to do. You're going out, you're finding new friends. Everything's really exciting. You're staying up late. It's amazing. And then at a certain point, that changes and you have too much to do and not enough time. Somebody told me once that it's like holding a shield in front of you and all the arrows of people wanting you to do things are coming at you and you just have to crouch behind the shield.
Oh,
like,
I love that.
Like, no, no, yes. No, I can't. So I think that boiling it down to only saying yes to the things that I really do feel passionate about and making a commitment, being committed to seeing it through, and then figuring out whether or not that's something that I want to continue. Trying to do commitments that are like 1 year or shorter to see if like that's the thing that I want to be consistent about. And yeah, really like when you're a powerful, organized, social person, there's so much good that you can do in the world, right? So what you have to do is you have to narrow it down to the things that you feel passionate about. Otherwise, you just burn out and you just won't do it.
Absolutely.
So, Justine, what are some of the things that you're excited about? What do you have that's coming up or what are you really excited about? Besides the five kittens you've got coming.
Yeah, right. Weirdly, I'm not that excited about that. Not because they're not cute, but because we've had a lot of kittens over the course of our lives working at animal shelters. My son is more excited. I'm really excited that school is out tomorrow. I am so passionately, like in my core, excited that school is done because trying to be a full-time teacher and also a full-time professional is really, really hard. And I want to shout out to any person, whether it's a mom or a dad, that's trying to balance that right now because it is very difficult. So yeah, I'm really excited about school being done tomorrow and then rebalancing all of the things in our lives because it's been a lot lately trying to manage school and then getting all my work done. And I do want to say that this is not in any way a knock towards the teachers or the principals or anything. Everybody has done an incredible job with the combination of complications that we have been handed, but also like my 6.5-year-old is not designed to sit on a Zoom for 4 hours because he just can't. And then I just like constantly saying, buddy, just watch the screen. Buddy, just look at the screen. You can't talk while your teacher's talking. So I'm super, super excited about that being done.
I love it. I love it. Hats off to you for taking on that. You're right. Our parents always talked about walking uphill both ways, knee deep in snow to go to school. they have nothing on what this last year and a half has been.
That's funny.
So I'm glad that this is going to be coming to a head for you tomorrow and looking forward to maybe a little different school year next year.
I think I'm more excited than he is. I'm literally counting the hours.
Yeah. So Justine, you're one of those people that just kind of seems to know everybody and you're super connected. And I know that you mentioned earlier about networking. So can you give some advice to people who are starting out or haven't really done a lot of networking, especially now that things are opening up a little bit more? I mean, I know there's been a lot of online networking, but there's some more in-person events. Just to maybe some advice to new networkers about their business or what to do.
Yes, absolutely. So I think that the biggest piece of advice that I give anybody that I'm talking to about networking is to make it your goal to meet three people every time you go somewhere new.
Right.
I mean, that's the challenge, right? Because you go and you see your friends and you're like, oh, hey, guys.
Right.
And then you spend all your time talking to them. But that's not valuable networking time. That's friend time. So your challenge when you walk into a room is find three people you don't know, give them your card, get their card, and then pick one to follow up with between that event and the next event. Usually networking events are once a month or quarterly or whatever. And so your job is to get three new names, check it off your list. Here's my first one. Here's my second one. Here's my third one. Pick one of those three people and have a coffee, a virtual coffee, or a virtual drink or a regular drink, wherever you're at in your COVID journey.
Right. So yeah, full disclosure, I see both of you women at networking events because we're, you know, we're both all from the Lansing area. And you two are like my go-to networking wing people, even if you don't know that. So I know you, but I find you at networking events because I know that you are going to introduce me to somebody else.
Have you met Amy?
Exactly. Exactly. You both are so good at that. Yeah.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
So Justine, what are some of the obstacles that you're facing in the market today?
My biggest obstacle is time. I mean, full stop. There are enough people that that need help that I struggle with being able to help all of them and making sure that I am giving everybody the time that they need. I have an assistant now. Her name is Liz. I call her Lizard. Actually, she calls herself my henchwoman, which I love. And she is absolutely fabulous. And we are working on doing all the training so that I can import all of my brain into her brain. But yeah, I mean, the biggest thing that I struggle with is making sure that everybody gets the time that they need, because I can't rush, right? Like if I say the deductible is this, and then somebody makes a face that shows me they don't really understand what the deductible is, then we have to back up three steps. And we have to talk about what a deductible is and what happens before a deductible and what happens after a deductible. And if I don't do that, if I don't take the time to do that, then I'm not being true to the person that I am and the agent that I am. And I think that that's why people come back to me over and over again and they send their friends, because they know that we're going to do that. But there's only 8 hours in every day. And right now, four of them are virtual school. And so like that 8 hours kind of gets shifted into the afternoon and then the evening. I had a call last night from 8 to 9:30 p.m. because that was after my kid went to bed. And so just trying to find that space to make sure that everybody is heard and feels heard and comfortable.
Yeah, I can tell that you've really worked hard at home. Well, I think some of it comes naturally too, I should say, but you are a rare person, the fact that you explain things really, really well without talking down to people.
Yes.
And I think that is just huge, especially in your industry that is complicated and lots of moving parts and things like that and hard for people to understand. So I just wanted to say that that's one of your gifts for sure.
That is absolutely the best thing that I could hear. Like that is what I want to do.
Yeah.
Like I want people to feel comfortable with me. I want them to feel like I'm on their team. And I want them to have enough understanding to feel comfortable making their own decision on this. Because again, it's their lives. It's not my life.
Right.
So, you know, when it comes to the time and protecting your time, and you demonstrated holding that shield up with those arrows coming at you and saying no, what types of things are you struggling saying no to?
Oh, everything.
I mean, that is a great struggle.
Yeah, right? Like Erica is wonderful. She is starting a nonprofit. I've been in nonprofits for a really long time. I am currently a treasurer. I don't want to be a treasurer, but her organization needs a treasurer. And so it is so hard for me. I have to constantly be like, you don't, no, you can't. Don't say yes. Don't say it out loud. No, don't do it. And I feel like one of the hardest things is when you're interested in things like housing insecurity, there's not enough people working in that space. Even the people who are passionate about it and love it, they're going a million miles an hour all the time to try and get as much done as they can. So there's always space for another body if you have an hour or 2 hours or 5 hours to dedicate. And so you can always, always, always fill that time with nonprofit stuff. And so it's a delicate balance to try and like learn the things that you're trying to learn and, you know, connect the people that you're trying to connect without stepping into that space and being like, oh yeah, I can look at those applications for you. I can make those phone calls. Like, no, 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 no.
I love it. I love practice saying no. That's great.
Well, a wise and wonderful business coach named Lisa Fisher once told me that when you say yes to something, think about what you're saying no to.
Yes.
Or the
exactly
opposite.
Right. Exactly right. It's so hard.
It is. It is. Oh. Especially knowing the passions of everyone's hearts on this call. You know, I know that we all have a struggle with saying no to some things. And yet, the more we say yes to everything, stuff starts falling off and we're not always doing the priorities. So continue to work on holding that shield. What would you like the listeners to know about you that maybe we didn't cover in these questions, or they can't go out online and Google search or Facebook you and learn?
I think I want people to know that I'm imperfect. I feel like as we, you know, especially with Facebook, and we're putting this like amazing foot forward, and like we're doing things with our kid. If you're looking at like my Facebook feed, we're doing adventure challenges. And so many people come to me and they say, oh my gosh, you're doing such an amazing job. You're such a great mother. And I just want to say, like, only in the pictures. In the pictures, I'm amazing. Yes. But like, we all have our struggles, and everybody is approachable. I think that that's one of the things that I've learned about networking is like, there are these really amazing people that you see and they're incredible. And really, like, they want to talk to you too, and they want to grab lunch. And so the worst that somebody could say is no. But when you have somebody that you look up to, or that you're really like, you think is amazing, like, they have their own struggles too. They are happy to have you walk up to them and ask if you want to have lunch. They're absolutely humans. So I'm a human. The other people that you look up to are human. And yeah, like, make those connections when you can, because we're all just real people.
Absolutely. Well said.
Talking about grabbing lunch, if you could grab lunch with anybody in the world, anybody, who would you like to go to lunch with?
Lin-Manuel Miranda. He wrote Hamilton and In the Heights, and he's just done a lot of amazing things. He wrote the music for Moana. He's working on the music for a book series that's getting transformed into something for TV or the movies that I think is going to be really incredible. But more than that, I think he does so much for the world. Like, each time that they open a new Hamilton show, he does a fundraiser and flies 5 people with their guests out there for free. And he raises millions of dollars for all these different organizations, whether it's like Latino education funds, or they did shows in Puerto Rico for the island after a hurricane. He just does some really amazing stuff. So I think he would be really incredible to sit down across the table from and just be like, hey, tell me the things. How did you get here? Like, all the questions that you're asking me, I would be like, right. Can you tell me the answers to these things?
I love it. Everybody has a story, and it's so fun to learn and to hear and glean from each other. I think it just brings us much closer to understanding other people as well. We learn from them and understand them. Awesome. So what piece of advice would you have for any other business followers out there that you'd like to share?
I have two.
OK.
Can I do two?
Yes, you can do two. Of course.
The first one is never stop growing. If you stop growing, then it's over, right? Every day I have to learn new things. And especially when you're starting your business, you're learning new things all the time. But there's always more things to learn. And so when you feel yourself stagnating, it's time to expand a little bit more and figure out what it is, what more you need to know that you don't know yet. And then the second thing is, if you're starting a business, you have to do it on a 2-year time frame. Everything takes time to get started. And so I have seen so many people, friends, where they're like, oh, I'm going to start a business. It's going to be amazing. And then 3 months in, they're, you know, it got hard. It wasn't as fun as it was when they started, and it got difficult. And every time I say something magic happens at 2 years. And if you get to 2 years and it's not working, then that is a different conversation. But really, you have to have 2 years to know whether your idea is going to be successful. So if you're planning something, whether it's a podcast or a business or whatever it is, it really takes 2 years to fully realize. So if you're not ready to commit 2 years, don't do it. And if you are ready to commit 2 years, make sure you have the plan ready, right?
Yes, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Nicely done. Yes. Great pieces of advice. How can people connect with you, Justine?
So I work at Cedar River Insurance, which is in Okemos. We have a Facebook page there. I am also on Facebook, just personally, Justine K. Bell. My work email is justine@cedarriverins.com, cedarriverins.com. And my office phone number is 517-580-3819. If anybody needs help with health insurance stuff, I'm your girl.
Absolutely. And for our listeners, we'll put all that information in our show notes.
Fabulous. Is there anything we missed, Justine? Anything that we didn't ask you about that you are having a burning desire to share?
I could talk with you guys all day. I think about
that. Yeah. I love it. Well, we are very honored and we appreciate you spending time with us today and sharing some of your story with us and helping us to, again, better connect and learn why we should do business or even get to know you as a human being. So reach out to Justine.
Perfectly imperfect.
Yes, exactly. Thank you so much. We do really appreciate you being here.
Thank you so much for having me. You guys are amazing.
You too. Awesome. Have a great day.
Bye.
Grab your passport and join Lisa and Amy as they interview a huge variety of today's professionals. You can discover Adventures in Business at ZediaMedia.com or find it at your favorite podcast source. If you'd like to be a guest at our show, we dare you to go to ZediaMedia.com. That's ZeeDiaMedia.com and sign up.